You obviously mentioned Sutton and Larson there. How good were they compared to the other top players that you played there?
Well, Chris was better for Henrik than I ever was, because I was more of a goal-getter. I was scoring. I loved to score goals. Now, whenever I did play with Henrik, which was many, many of occasions, Chris went into midfield or he went centre-back. But Chris was a better foil, I believe, because Henrik was a wonderful player, probably the greatest player I played with, alongside Bergkamp and alongside Giggs and people like that. He was right up there. And as I said, in terms of, I think Henrik's gone on record and said, because Chris would have been a better partner for him. Because Chris was very unselfish. Chris would go to the back, although he scored a lot of big goals himself. He's a Premier League winner, just something magnificent centre forward. But Chris would go back, stick and head things across. Chris would take a position where he could get it in and play Henrik in. And they were a wonderful partnership together. I was never really somebody that loved linking up. I used to go back, stick, middle of the goal, score. I was concentrating. I was a goal scorer. That's what I was. I loved the numbers. I loved getting my goal rate up and things like that. But the three of us in one team, I think we got 440 goals for Celtic.
Was there a rivalry between the three of us?
No, we always remained very good friends. No rivalry whatsoever. If I'd come off, or if one of them would come off, or if Martin had to choose. But generally, I couldn't play anywhere else apart from centre forward. But Chris was so versatile. And he was a credit to himself, really, that he struck up that partnership with Henrik. And he was willing for me to come into the team with no qualms about it. He was just as comfortable as centre-half, very mobile. He could play anywhere across the middle of the park, up and down. A threat in the opposition's box because of his heading prowess. Defensively, his positional sense was outstanding.
Top player, eh?
So he could go in and he could play anywhere, which allowed me and Henrik to play up top.
You were knocked out of the cup by Valencia that year, a very strong Valencia. Did that give you belief that you could compete in Europe?
Well, Valencia away at the Mestalla, at the Mestalla Stadium, we lost 1-0. Benitez was the manager. They'd won they'd won La Liga the year before, which took them into the... And I always say that the toughest player I ever played against, and I played against them all, you know, the Baresis, the Costa Curtas, the Nestas, but they had a player playing called Roberto Ayala.
Yeah, I remember him.
125 caps for Argentina. And that night at the Mestalla, we lost 1-0, but if it wasn't for Rab Douglas, it could have been about 8. He had the game of his life, he really did. And it was Ayala and Pellegrino, was it? Just been sacked at Southampton. They were the two centre-halves. And I thought to myself, normally, if I'm playing against Jamie Carragher or Gareth Southgate, I'm going to bully them because I was too big for them. I was too big, I was too strong, I could roll them. It was the likes of the Adamses, the Steve Bruces, the Razor Ruddocks, the ones who could match me physically. They were the ones I always had trouble with. But the other ones, when I was so big and strong, I could lean into them and things like that. I would give them all sorts of trouble. Ayala is about 5'8". So I'm thinking, as soon as I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, I'm going to destroy this fella tonight. I'm just going to lean on him. I'm not going to pull off onto Pellegrini. I'm going to go onto Ayala, because as a centre-forward, you do that. The ball's wide, you pull onto the weaker centre-half, or if the full-back's quite small, you go right round the back and you say to the fullback, hit it long so I can come over on top of the fullbacks. But I've got to say, Ayala, he was strong as a bull. Whenever I tried to muscle him or bump into him, he was rock hard. He could jump about 8 foot, a leap, aggressive, and I thought, wow, what a player. Argentinian, tough as old boots, you know. So I always say, and we were knocked out that night to Valencia. But again, it was a great experience. Benitez, and they were a very good side. I think that, you know, to win La Liga above teams like Real Madrid and Atletico and Barca, you know, they were a wonderful team.
The next year was the UEFA Cup run. The game that sticks out at start was the Blackburn game when Souness said it was men against boys.
Yeah, well, probably a bit naive from Graham, a man of his experience, really. Three European Cups, the career that Graham had had. But Blackburn played very well at Celtic Park. I come off the bench in the last 10 minutes and I powered in a header from a corner. I think Brad Friedel got down and just palmed it, and Henrik followed in with a rebound. We nicked it 1-0 at home. And we've got a tough game going to Blackburn. They had Damien Duff, they had York, they had Cole, they had big Craig Short at the back. Good team. I think they were mid-table in the Premier League, Graeme Souness, manager. And we went there and we just destroyed them from start to finish. The football that we played, we won the game 2-0, 3-0 on aggregate. And you'd have to ask Graeme himself, you know, whether or not that would have...
Did Martin use that in his team?
Yeah, it was hung up on the dressing room. Yeah.
Was it, yeah?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was, yeah. And I think the fact it was Graeme, if somebody else would have said it, but Graeme, obviously, his links and his connections with Rangers and coming back to Celtic Park, he obviously got a hostile reception. So whether it was tongue-in-cheek, whether he really meant it, whether he was just to try and put us off... Mm-hmm. You know, because it was Graeme Souness, obviously, he went up on the wall. And as I said, you know, we won that game fairly comfortable, which took us into the quarters, I think.
You scored some great goals at you. The Liverpool one, Celta Vigo. Mm. What one sticks out for you?
Well, Celta Vigo was the most important. Uh-huh. Because although we lost the game, that goal, the away goal, took us past Europe for the first time in 20 years. Incredible, that. Celtic had been out of Europe for 20 years, and that one goal took us beyond Europe, sort of took us into Europe beyond Christmas. So we had European football in the second half of the season, which the fans always love that, something for them to look forward to, yeah. You know. But obviously the Liverpool goal, I grew up a Liverpool fan, quarter-final of the UEFA Cup, big moment, full house at Anfield. I'd played at Anfield before with West Ham and Arsenal and Wimbledon, but I don't think I ever won there. It was a very difficult place, especially in Europe, midweek under the lights.
Brilliant.
Nobody wins at Anfield. A historical, incredible European team, 5 European Cups, you know. So to have gone there again, and I never got many outside the box. I still don't know to this day where they come from.
It's a belter, wasn't it?
I just played a 1-2 with Henrik. Chris didn't play because... And what was really pleasing was I'd missed a penalty against Rangers in the League Cup final on the Sunday. But the goal I scored was onside and it was ruled off for offside. Yeah. And then we get a penalty. And because I'd scored 2 goals while Henrik was out of the team, Henrik being the professional that he was, I'd scored 2 penalties. Henrik being the professional that he was, he chucked me the ball and he said, "There you go, take the penalty." Against Rangers in the semi-final of the League Cup, I think it was. So I'm thinking, wow, you know, what responsibility that is. Henrik would have probably drilled it in the top corner. Mm-hmm. But because he was very professional, not thinking of himself, thinking of the team, he said, "Go on, go and stick it away. You've scored your last 2 while I've been out of the team." And Klos goes that way, and I hit it past the post. That's a crime, not to hit the target even. You know, if I'd rolled it in there, it'd have gone in. So I missed a penalty. I'm very down. I feel as if I've let everybody down. It's a terrible feeling, especially at Hampden where there's 30,000 Celtic, 25,000 Rangers, 25,000 Celtic. The stadium just clears straight away, and to be on the pitch and to watch Rangers lift the cup, thinking I could have affected that if I'd scored the pen, you know. And the fact was we'd come from 2-0 down. So I think we got one back. If I'd got the penalty, that would have been us having the momentum. But then to have gone to Liverpool and to have scored that goal 4 days later, you know, I'm back in amongst the crowd then. I'm back, everybody's favourite then.
See, with that team, there were such big players. Was there a real determination to prove yourself against the teams in England?
We always did well against the teams down in England. You look at Blackburn there, we turned them over. We had a couple of friendlies as well against Leicester. We played Man United several times.
Testimonials,
and we always had good wins. And I think there was, because even today there's a perception of the Scottish League being not very good, and There's a lot of very, very good players in the Scottish League, and I think that's been proved. They've gone down south and they've performed really, really well. But until you play up here, and when you play for Celtic or Rangers, when you go to, you know, away from home, there's always pressure because you take so many fans. Mm-hmm. And you've got to win. You've got to win every week. A draw or a defeat is like, it's a crisis. Mm-hmm. It's a crisis up here. You know, there's fans, polls, and if you get beat, everybody has their say. Mm-hmm. You know, and all of a sudden, then you've got to go and put it right again at the weekend.
Where do you think that team would have finished in the Premier League?
Well, I don't think we'd have challenged. Mm-hmm. Remember, that was a great Arsenal team. It was Arsenal, Man United, and then when Mourinho came to Chelsea, he was given the funds and then they eventually won the league. But certainly we'd have, you know, we were as good as Southampton, we were as good as West Brom, we were as good as, you know, teams like Stoke.
Top half of the table.
And yeah, 100%. Uh-huh. You know, with the players that we had, you know, 100%, I really think that.
Uh-huh. Back on at the UEFA Cup, how gutted were you being injured for the final?
I was very, very, very disappointed, devastated, actually. I shouldn't say that in football terms. But we mentioned the Arsenal UEFA Cup final. I'd already played in a European final. So I played in two European finals, the Super Cup final and the Cup Winners' Cup final for Arsenal. So maybe if I'd never played in a final, I might have been feeling it a bit more. But I was very disappointed. I played in 12 out of 13 games of that UEFA Cup run. Played in every game apart from the final. Paul Lambert wouldn't have played in the final.
No?
He ended up captaining the team. Because our team that year was myself and Henrik, Lenny, Chris and Petrov. Right. And we had three at the back with the wing back. So Paul wouldn't have played. Right. Paul didn't play. Paul stepped out for that team. Mm-hmm. I don't think he played in hardly any of the other games. But he ended up captaining the team in the final. Big mate of mine, Lambo, great player. So it was very, very disappointing because I was, you know, leading up to the game, I was playing well. And we ended up with nothing that year. Mm. We ended up with no trophies at all.
Could you believe a team that good ended up with nothing that year?
Hard but you know take. What? I don't think the boys would swap it. I think if you'd asked Martin O'Neill, I think he'd say, well, we ended up with nothing. But the enjoyment and, you know, the however proud we made the Celtic team and we did the club. You know, we did the club very proud. The fans that travelled to Seville. I'm almost positive that if you go back and if you ask the supporters, would they have swapped the UEFA Cup run for a league or a Scottish Cup? No. That run and that team and the final, Henrik scoring his 199th and 200th goals. Porto in the heat of Seville. I don't think anybody could swap that for even a league title, the winners' medal. The enjoyment we got from that cup run and that togetherness and that bond that we all created from that was brilliant.
You mentioned Martin there as well, and you said earlier he never used to say much. So what was it? What was so good about him? That
I just think he just had a presence. He just had a presence. The manager, you know, he'd say to me before the game, he'd say, "Right, John, today, when the ball comes into you, I don't want you to be thinking of 10,000 things." He said, "Think of one thing. Just put your foot on the ball. Allow us to come up the pitch as a team. Stick that big backside of yours into the defence." He said, "Then if you can, please, for me today, son, just for me today, if you can just pass it to a green and white shirt," he said, "that I'll be happy with that." He said, "Then get yourself in the box." Now, I knew I had to do more than that. I had to win my headers. I had to get hold of the ball. I had to attack crosses. I had to bring people into play. But the only instruction he gave me was, you know, and he'd say to Henrik, he said, "Son, I'll never be able to teach you to score a goal. Just go do what you do every other week." Uh-huh. You know, and
could he lose his rag on the other side of that as well?
Oh, yeah, he could, yeah. He could. There was one time we're playing Motherwell in the at Hampden Park. And it's a semi-final of the Cup. So it's about the 75th minute and Sean Maloney, I'm on the edge of the box. Sean Maloney's played the ball into me. I've held about three Motherwell defenders off. I've held it. Sean's gone in my inside there. So I've flicked it to Sean Maloney. He's gone through and he scored. And we won the game 1-0. So after that goal, in about the 72nd, 73rd minute, Martin's gone number 10. So I'm thinking, I can't believe this. Can't believe he's bringing me off. I've just made the goal. What's he bringing me off? And I hated coming off. And I knew that Martin, whenever he took you off, whenever he substituted you, he liked you to go and sit on the bench and shake everybody's hand and sit there and accept it. And I knew he liked that. And I thought, no way, I'm not doing that. So as I'm coming down the tunnel at Hampden, Stevie Walford has chucked me a jacket to keep warm. And I've just gone, have it back. I've thrown it back at him. And I've gone straight down the tunnel. So I walk into the dressing room. I'm in there 20 minutes. I'm on my own. There's a plate of sandwiches there, right? So I've grabbed these sandwiches and I've gone smash up against the wall. I've lost it. So there's bits of salad cream on Henrik Larsson's new shirt, right? Chris Sutton got a lovely pair of new brogues on. There's a bit of tuna remaining on the edge of Sutton's shoes. So I'm like that, raging. So the boys have won 1-0, we're in the final. We've made the final, right? So Martin's come in, all the boys are like, yeah, well done, lads, well done, boys, yeah, brilliant. As you do when you win a semi-final. So he's gone, John, what's wrong with you? In that different tone of voice, of course. A few beep beeps in that as well. He said, what's the matter with you? And I went, well, what do you bring me off for? I said, it's always me. He said, why not bring him off? I'll bring him off. I said, it's every week. You're bringing me off now. I don't like coming off. So he just went, John, he said, in this game, he said that we all like to call football. He said, every once in a while, son, he said, you've got to be able to move around a little bit. he said, and tonight, you just weren't moving around. So I just went, no problem. And I've always learned through my career that a manager is generally always right. He's always right. And what was good about Martin, whenever you had a big Barney with him, which not many times have ever, he'd never turn around and say, you never play for this club again. You never play for me again. He had none of that. No. Because even if he had an argument with you, he'd put you in on the Saturday. Because if he could get you to win him the game, that's what good management is about. He would never, ever dismiss a player if it was going to cost him a point or results. He'd play him. And he always felt then you owed him something. He was just psychologically brilliant. And funnily enough, he comes to my golf day every year. I've been over to Ireland. I've seen him and when he's been in charge of the Irish team. And I get on a lot better with him now. I feel as if I know Martin now, having had conversations with him and chatted off the course about football and on the course about things than I ever did when I played under him, because he just doesn't quite let you
get to course.
Nah. Uh-huh. And that's good. That's uh-huh. a good thing. Different uh-huh. to Harry and Joe Kinnear and things. I never feel as if I got to know him. But now he comes and plays, we get him over and he enjoys his golf. And I think he likes meeting up with Sutty and Johan and Lenny and the boys who also play at my golf day. He likes to come over and he likes to show a bit of support. And as I said, I feel as if I know him better now than I ever did when I played under him.
2003, 2004, absolutely romped the league. What was the difference that year?
I don't know. Maybe the fact that in 2003 we'd not picked up anything. I think we come back with a bit of a mission to clean up and to do really well. I was back. My back operation, I did 2 back operations. My career was in doubt at one stage, but they did a great job on my back. And I just think, as I said, it was just that determination just to bounce back and to show the quality that we had, because we still had that team. Uh-huh. Still had a great team. But Magnus Hedman was a great goalkeeper. And I think the fact that Henrik and Johan, I'd played with him so many times for Sweden, and I played with Magnus at Coventry as well under Strack, and he was magnificent. For 2 seasons, he was the best goalkeeper in the Premier League. But when he came to Celtic, I don't know what, I think he was a couple of years older, and he just made a few mistakes. I think it might have affected his confidence. But he was a top goalkeeper. I remember one year we played Bayern Munich, and we were 2-2, and he let a free kick through his legs, I think, in the last minute. And just big things like that. I think goalkeepers, they're all capable of making mistakes, but in the real big games, your top goalkeepers, they make big saves at big times, and so pivotal to how the results go, really.
As we've mentioned before, that team, some massive characters, yourself, Sutton, Thompson, Lennon. How important were they characters to the
Well, I think big characters are always important, I think, to teams. I think players that you can trust, I think, you know, players that you know will play, and generally throughout the season, they're 7, 8 out of 10 most weeks. If one of them has a bad game, then the other 3 or 4 will. But it was a fantastic time. It was a brilliant team. We had great spirit in that team. A lot of winners, and you know, for that 4 or 5 years, that you know, we were all together before it all broke up. You know, Henrik went first. Was it to Barcelona? And then Chris went. And then I went, and then Tom had gone as well. So it happens in football. It's natural that the young lads come through, and that allowed the Stephen McManus, the big Mick McManus,
to come through.
Steve, great lads, and then the Pierros and the Ross Wallaces, Steve Pearson, they all came through then.
Because obviously we were young lads then, and we used to love hanging about the first team dressing room, because it was a great laugh, wasn't it?
It was a great place to be.
Any stories that stick out? Sutton being funny, or?
Any stories of the Celtic?
Was he the same as he is now, Big Sutton?
Yeah, he's dry, Chris, isn't he? But I think, you know, I think sometimes he's a bit misunderstood as well. I think when you put that camera in front of his face, he just changes. I think, but knowing Chris like I do, you know, game of golf, a few beers at the bar, he's different. Uh-huh. He's a bit different.
Was he always at the wind-up, though?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was, yeah. And I think he's raised the profile of BT Sport.
And Scottish football, and think,
you know, I think a lot more people are tuning in now. You know, I think one thing about Chris, I think he says what he thinks. When he gets it wrong, I think he's happy to say, do you know what? I think I got that one wrong. But when he gets it right, predominantly, people find it difficult to listen to a bit of blunt honesty. Mm-hmm. And when he's in that sort of mould, I like to hear that. That's a type of person that I like to be around. If you've not done well, you generally know you've not done well. And Chris will call you out for that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And that's why he's doing very well in the media, because that's the type of role and the type of attitude that he's adapted to the media.
You said, obviously, Larson leaves. Did you and Sutton feel extra pressure to score goals, or was it nothing to you?
Well, yeah, it was something, because we're going to lose all Henrik's goals, and he was inspirational. And the amount of times he got us out of the... You know, it was phenomenal. It was almost like every week. You know, Henrik, 242 goals in 311 games. That's freakish. Uh-huh. You know, that's over 7 seasons. That's like 45 goals a season. How do you replace that? Well, you don't. You can't physically replace that. And then me and Chris come in, and then obviously we got Craig Bellamy up on loan.
How was he?
Great lad, Craig. I played with Craig for 10 years with the Welsh team. It was Giggs, Harts and Bellamy. That was our front three. So I know Craig. Played him at Coventry as well. Great lad, great player. Again, like Ian Wright, plays on people's shoulders, never came short. Always running behind, caused defences problems. And top player, Bellas. It's a shame we just couldn't keep him for a bit longer, maybe. I think his wages had something to do with it.
One of a few people, who scored in the Nou Camp. How was that go for you?
Yeah, again, it was just like, it was that moment where you're scoring a cup final at 19. It was just one of the moments where you think, do you know what, I'll always have that. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to tell my grandkids that. No, I was never a great player. I think the Gerrards and the Owens and the Dalglishes, I was never at that level. But I was somebody that, I always scored goals and I always give my all. And I affected the game with my size and my presence. And if I never scored, I took a defender away. And I'm proud of my career because it was more so I made my children proud than I've made my parents proud. And I think if you go through life like that, my dad came to see me every game. He never missed a game during my career.
Every game, huh?
Every game. My son now watches all my DVDs. My son's with Swansea Academy. He's a nice little player. He's got a chance. So he watches all my old clips now and things like that. So I've made my family proud, really, which pleases me more than anything else.
Obviously, you've mentioned it a wee bit before, but Helicopter Sunday, how low a feeling was that? The worst you've experienced in football?
Yeah, it was, because we had it. We had the trophy in our hands. You know, Craig Bellamy and Chris Sutton had put us in front. Now, we started that day with Petrov, Lambert, myself, Lenny, Sutton, Bellamy. There were no excuses. Mm. And we were 1-0 up. 1-0 up, it was come. I'm thinking, where am I going to run? What area of the pitch am I going to run to when this ref blows his final whistle? Am I going to run to them fans? My dad was there at Motherwell in the crowd. There was 5,000 or 6,000 Celtic fans. They were everywhere, behind the goal, filling both stands up. And I'm thinking, right, when the referee blows his whistle, I'm just thinking, who do I run to? I think everybody's thinking the same. And the next thing is, it goes to 1-1. Craig Beattie comes on for me. I go off, 10 minutes to go. And then it was just surreal. It was just surreal. I think we are chasing for the winner. The news comes through that Rangers are winning. Mm. And then they score the winner. And then the stadium just almost empties. And the Celtic fan, Scott McDonald, scores 2 goals.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything said in the dressing room after, or was it just silence?
Nothing said. Nothing.
Strange atmosphere, huh?
No. Well, lads, you know, what happened at the defence there? Nothing. It was nothing. I think we were all pretty much gone. Mm. We were just so down. We were just so devastated. And you get these moments in football. You get the euphoria and you get all the ecstatic moments. And I suppose it's that old saying, take the rough with the smooth. Is it? Is that the...
Yeah, you're right there. Right?
And also, I was always told, stay humble and don't get too high with the highs and don't get too low with the lows. Because you're going to experience many low points and many highs. Don't get too ecstatic. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. Let other people do that. Don't get too downbeat. It's only a game. It's only a game. Stay balanced. And I've tried my best to remain that type. Not always happened, but I've tried to.
Was there anything that went wrong that year? Obviously, Martin had issues with his wife not being well. Was that maybe a... a hindrance?
I don't think so. No. And Geraldine, I think she's back now, looking a picture of health. It was obviously a major concern if your wife is not very well. There was no blame. There was no the reasons were he wanted to spend more time with his wife, of course, without going into it too deeply. He put the players out onto the pitch. And whenever he'd put the players out on the pitch previously, we'd always done the business and we'd always won games and won cups and won leagues. Just that particular day at Motherwell, for whatever reason, we had chance after chance after chance. If we'd got a second goal, that was it. Wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. You got player of the year that year, shared it with Fernando Rixon.
Yeah.
And I think you were on the end of a wind-up.
Yeah, I was, yeah. But how can you share players' player of the year? Surely he must have had one more vote than me, or I had one more vote. How can you share it?
Your agent.
You don't get the same amount of votes. I was happy for Fernando to have it. But obviously, we did share it, and God bless him, Fernando. He's
still fighting it.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Poor guy, you know. And for someone like Fernando, he was always life and soul. He was always in the thick of things. If there was a little scuffle on the pitch, you knew Fernando was in there. A really, really good player under Alec McLeish. Covered every blade of grass. And it's so sad. It's so sad to see him as he is now. You wouldn't want that for your worst enemy, you know. What he's after enduring every day. It's a terrible situation for him, and my heart goes out to him every time I see him. We shared the Players' Player of the Year. We both had pictures. I never forget the way you do it. The way you do this is one player keeps the trophy for 6 months and then the other player gets it just to put it on their mantelpiece or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Fernando said to me on the night, he says, John, do you mind if I have it this for the first? I says, yeah, no problem. I said, don't worry about it. I said, I'll see you in 6 months, you know. So there was about seven and a half months went by and I never heard a thing. So I'm driving home in my car from Celtic Park. I lived out near Kilmacomb up there and I'm driving home and my phone went on the loudspeaker. So I pressed the button in my car, I was on my own. And it was like a voice, I'm not going to try it, a Dutch
accent. Go on, give it a go.
He said, hello, John, it's Fernando Rixon here. And I was like, I sound more Canadian when I say that. But he says, Fernando Rixon here. I said, hello, Fernando, how are you, mate? How's things? He says, yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm good, man. I'm good, man. Good, man. So he says, you know this Player of the Year trophy? He said, I think I had a better season than you. I said, all right, okay. He said, look, he said, and I've decided I'm going to keep this trophy, man. I think I deserve to keep it. No, you bleeping not. I said, you owe me that trophy. He said, no, man. He said, I'm having it. I'm getting wound up. I'm getting, you know, irate, you know. So this goes on for about 2 or 3 minutes. I'm almost putting the phone down. I'm almost, I don't know what to do. I'm just going, what's happening here? So then I hear two lads just laughing their head off on the other end of the phone. It's Chris Sutton and Alan Thompson.
Brilliant.
And Tomo's got the Dutch accent in the bag. And he's pretending to be Fernando and he's just winding me up. And I'm going, I can't believe you. But they got me. They got me hook, line and sinker, you know. But, good days.
Brilliant. So 2005, 2006, Martin O'Neill leaves Celtic. How gutted were you when you heard the news?
Well, he had his reasons. Uh-huh. Marcin, his wife, Geraldine, wasn't...
Did you expect him to go?
Yeah, I expect anybody to go in that situation. Yeah. Family is a lot more important than football, you know, what it means. And obviously Martin went to spend more time with his family, and I know he's got some daughters, and I suppose at that time it was a very, very worrying stage with Geraldine's cancer. But I'm so glad now that she's made a full recovery, and I saw her a couple of months ago. She looks an absolute picture of health. Yeah. And listen, you wouldn't expect anything else from any man, not just a man like Martin, to and for him to have walked away from Celtic, which I know he loved managing Celtic, you know, and John Robertson as his assistant, he loved it as well.
They were brilliant, Robertson and Wolford.
Successful team, got on with all the players. We all loved Martin. But he had his reasons, and listen, there's no two ways about it. He was always going to leave, and the reasons was to go and spend more time and to give his wife that support that she'd always given him through his career.
Your old manager comes in, Gordon Strachan. Did you think good was a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, I'd previously worked with Gordon at Coventry, uh-huh. And we won the title. Myself and Magic Zurawski both scored 20 goals that season. Uh-huh. And I remember Gordon Strachan. Look, Gordon played till he was 39. He's a fitness fanatic. Uh-huh. Totally opposite to me. Totally opposite.
I don't know what you mean.
So what he said one day, he said, we've gone in there, we've gone in for the first day pre-season, and our fitness coach, he's got all these heart monitors. So he's picked them all up like that, Gordon. He's tucked them all over and he's dropped these heart monitors in the bin. So the fitness coach is like that. So Martin said, never mind all them heart monitors.
Gordon, sorry, huh?
Sorry, Gordon. Gordon, huh? Gordon Strachan says, never mind all these heart monitors. He says, like we used to do with Fergie, up in Aberdeen, we should run along the beaches, run up and down the sand dunes. He says, we are going to do some proper running this morning. I'm sweating.
Did you have a good summer as well?
Because I hated pre-season. I used to have nightmares. I couldn't sleep or nothing. Wake up in a bloody ball of sweat, anxious. Just hated it. Couldn't do it. And he said, right, we're going to go to the track. So he's got us all in a circle. And he said, right, lads. He said, today, he said, I expect 12 laps. Is it 12?
No,
laps?
It was 8 laps in 12 minutes, I remember.
8 laps uh-huh. in 12 minutes. You got it. He said, but I know, he said, every now and again in life, he said, you come across a freak. He said, and Big John at the back, blushing. He said, John's a freak. He said, most of you will lap John today. He said, but I know the big man will get me 25 goals next season.
Brilliant.
He said, that's what makes him a freak. He said, so big man, he said, you just do what you can. And I think I did about 5.5 laps.
Brilliant.
And I did get lapped by everybody as well.
See, when he was getting rid of your mates, obviously Sutton and Thompson, did you fear that? Did you fear for yourself?
Got rid of me.
But the first year, I mean, he came in, he got rid of Sutton.
Well, I think Chris, I don't know. I just think Chris's success under Martin, maybe Chris maybe felt that he wasn't going to quite, maybe he saw something early on in the training or his relationship with Gordon that might have told Chris, look, he was a senior player, he was a top player, Premier League winner. He might have thought, well, do you know what, I can't quite see that same relationship happening with Gordon as what I had with Martin. And I think they maybe have decided maybe, Chris will, only he can answer that. Mm-hmm. Tomo left, might have been for the same reasons. And I left after, I went away, I had a year left on my contract at Celtic. I was there for 5 years, but I had 1 year left. And I went on holiday at the end of the season, and I'm sitting in an apartment with my wife and a few of the kids. And I said, right, I'm going to go up to the apartment to get a drink, to get a big jug of squash, bring it all down and all that for the kids. And as I went to my apartment, I put Sky Sports on. This is gospel truth. I put Sky News on. So I'm sitting there, and it come flashing up on the screen, Celtic have agreed to a £500,000 offer from West Brom to sign John Hartson. And I've gone, you what? Not been told about that. Wow. So Brian Robson it was, who made the bid, West Brom, signed me and Kevin Phillips on the same day. Kevin came from Villa, I came from Celtic. And so I've gone back down to the pool and I've said to my missus, I said, I think I've been sold. Didn't know anything about it. So about 2 days went past and I got a phone call from Gordon Strachan. He said, big man, he said, I've given you 2 days to calm down. He said, I just about to call you. He said, look, he said, I'm bringing in, I think it was Kenny Miller. I'm bringing in Scott McDonald, I think one or two others. He said, it's been great working with you. He said, I spoke to Brian Robson on the way back from a long haul flight. They were away doing Man United Legends or something. And he said, Brian really likes you as a player. He said, he wants a character like yourselves in his team. He said, I've decided to let you go to West Brom. He said, if you want to go to West Brom, that is. And I just accepted it. Yeah. You know, I walked away from Celtic with nothing. I didn't want to pay off. Yeah. I didn't want to make a big scene. I probably wavered a lot of money, my wages and signing on fees. I was going through quite a traumatic time in my life as well. I was going through a divorce, which anybody can tell you that never easy. so I wanted to get a little bit closer as well to my children who were in Wales at the time. West Brom is the Midlands. It's only a 2-hour drive from Swansea, where my kids went back to. So I went and played for West Brom. And then Brian was great at the time. And then Tony Mowbray took over. Brian got the sack after 5 games. So Tony Mowbray said to me, he said, John, when I was manager of Hibs, he said, we used to work all week on the training ground, how to stop you. He said, it wasn't Henrik or Chris Sutton. He said, because I feel everything went through you at Celtic when you were in the team. He said, but I'm not going to play you. He said, I like quick, mobile strikers. So I thought, that's me definitely not playing then. He said, but I'm... And I respected his honesty. I respected the fact that he didn't mess me around. He didn't get me to do training. He didn't get me to hang around and sit on the bench. I think players like that. So I can crack on and I can move on and have a fresh start somewhere else. He's not messing me around. He's telling me. And if I ever go into management, that if I ever do something, that's the way I'll be. Players like that, yeah. Do you know? So then I pretty much, from there, I went and did a little gig with Satanta, with Big Terry Butcher. Mm-hmm. Did that for 2 or 3 years. That was great. Travelling all around, doing all the SPL games. Terry was Rangers, I was Celtic, centre-half, centre-forward. And listening to some of the stories and everything, spending Friday nights together before the games on a Saturday. I really enjoyed that side of it. And that's when the media first started kicking in, really. And then for the last 10 years or so, it's just been media. I've just been flat out with, now it's BT and currently it was BBC. I did a bit of the Welsh television because I'm a fluent Welsh speaker. Mm. And I enjoy the media, I enjoy it now.
Just a last bit on Celtic. You scored your 100th goal last season and you got the winner against Hearts to win the league.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you, to end your
career?
Well,
getting to 100 goals was something that, you know, I think you firmly stamped your name in the great tradition of the club. I think 100 goals is something to be proud of. I never achieved that at Arsenal or West Ham. And you look at some of the great players at Celtic, the Jimmy Johnsons, the Larsons, the Nicholases, you know, the Brian McClares, the James McGrorys, these type of players, the Bobby Lennoxes, that have all got 100, 200, some of them. I think James McGrory's got about 400, I believe. So for me to have walked away with 100 goals, again, that is something I can always be proud of. I can always come back to the club and feel welcomed. And so that meant a lot to me. So I've got to 100. You know, it's no mean feat. For 5 years, and I missed a whole season with a back injury, 2 back operations. So I averaged 20, 25, 30 was my best 1 year. So I was very proud of that, and I can always say now I'm amongst that elite group of players to have got 100 goals. But as I go back to, I was never a great, great player. I was just somebody who gave his heart and soul into every performance. I always carried a little bit of weight. I maybe didn't look after myself as well as I should have. But I can look back on my career and say, do you know what? I played for some great clubs with some great players.
John, top man. Thanks very much, mate.
Thank you, Simon.
Pleasure.
Cheers.